Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Oh, honey, don't forget I need you to bring your laundry down tonight, okay? Of course, I don't know why I bother telling you anything while you're on that thing, because you're not listening. I could probably say anything I want, and you wouldn't hear a word I say. Right? Yeah? Okay. You're basically waiting for me to leave so that you can say okay.
Okay.
Get advice on parenting in the digital age at commonsense.org.
Man, can anybody relate to that? Like, yeah, that man, you could have filmed that in my home right there. This morning, we're beginning a brand new series talking about how connected our lives have become in the context of technology. And we're just going to say up front, we're not anti-technology. I don't think God's anti-technology. I think God, according to His Word, and subsequently we as His followers, are just really pro-relationships. And so we want to talk about that over the next couple of weeks. I'm really grateful for Lake Point Church and their teaching pastor, Jared Hurd, for sharing this series with us so we can glean some information that I think is just really, really important teaching about technology and how it affects our relationships. I mean, the world in which we live is more technologically connected than ever before. And that connection has caused and affect relationships on us as human beings in some really powerful, powerful ways. We live in a world, do we not, where there's always a buzz. There's always a ping. There's always a ring that's either coming from our pocket or our purse or when we're driving, heaven forbid. I mean, we live in a world where although it's easy to be connected technologically, it's also very easy to become distracted at the same time. I mean, think about it. It's easy to go to dinner with your family or with your friends and never make eye contact with the person across the table because we're too busy connecting with somebody on the other end of one of these who's not even in the room. Have you ever experienced that? Man, I sure have. I mean, it is easy to live in a world where we constantly are distracted because we've become too connected to powerful technology. And if we're not careful, we can become distracted in the very presence of those that we've been created to have the deepest, most meaningful relationships with. And so today, we want to talk about the importance of every now and then being able to power off so that we can begin to pay attention to the people in our lives that really do matter the most. We're going to talk about the need in our lives today to begin having some boundaries in our lives that can help us move our attention away from always staring at a screen, and so that we can focus some of that time, some of that energy on those relationships that God designed for us and has given us to invest in and to cultivate with more intentionality those relationships that matter the most in our lives. And so as we gather together the next couple of weeks and we talk about technology in our lives and how technology connects our lives with others, it's not just a conversation about technology, it's a conversation about relationships. Would you just say that one word with me, relationships, on three? One, two, three. Relationships. Relationships. And think about it. If God created human beings to have relationships, And if it's one of our goals in our lives to have relationships, and not just relationships, but meaningful relationships, deep relationships, authentic relationships, intimate relationships, where we're deeply connected with people, and if it's one of our goals just day in and day out to maximize our time, to use our time wisely and not waste it, because the thing about time is once you've spent it, you can't get it back. It's a non-renewable resource. And if that's the case, then let's ask this question. What is the best way for us to use our devices that we have in our world? And some of us are about to be wearing one on our wrist. April the 24th, Apple starts shipping the smartwatch. Yeah, it's going to continue to be something that we must deal with in our lives, because it's just getting easier and easier to get connected to thousands of people. And yet at the same time, I think we're beginning to realize it's getting harder and harder to just have dinner with a couple of people and really connect. Yeah? Man, that's true in my life. It's true in our family. And think about it. If one of the goals in our lives, and if one of our goals is to be a true follower of Jesus, then what's the best way possible to use these technological devices? What's the best way that we can be wise with these technological devices that we have? Because it's crazy. I mean, I can go to a party, you can go to a party, and we can say, man, I've got 1,000 followers, which I don't, you may. But we could make that statement. If I went to a party and said, hey, I've got 1,000 followers, we wouldn't think twice about it. If I made that statement 5 years ago, people would be going, what cult are you leading? Just 5 years ago. See, we live in a different world today than we did just 5 years ago, and we'll live in a different world in 5 years than we do today. But one thing remains true. We've got to have some boundaries in our lives, because God's not going to change his mind on the value of relationships. We've got to have some boundaries so that we can begin to channel our energy, our time, our focus, and cultivate our relationships. If you have a Bible, would you open it with me to the Gospel of Luke? We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke in several different places this morning. Luke 4 is where we're going to start this morning. Page 859, if you're using the Bible in the row right in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, sneak over to the pastor's coffee when we're done today. I'll give you a brand new one that you can take that'll be just like that one, and that'll be our gift to you. Well, we're going to be all over the Gospel of Luke this morning, and what we're going to see throughout the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus eventually leaves his hometown in an area known as Galilee, which is a lush place. It's a beautiful place. I was there a few weeks ago. Do we have that back there? Yeah, you can see down by the lake here, and man, I was standing on top of that mountain right there. It's Mount Arbel, and just looking out all over Galilee. And so Jesus, as we go through the Gospel of Luke this morning, what we'll see is he's moving from Galilee and he's headed toward Jerusalem, and that's a picture of what Jerusalem may have looked like back in Jesus's day. You're going, I don't see the Dome of the Rock, because the Dome of the Rock wasn't there in Jesus's day. That happened several hundred years later, okay? And so you're going, oh, okay, I didn't see several of the buildings. It wasn't as big then as it is today. And so if you just trek through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you'll see there's similar stories all throughout, and yet there's some different angles or perspectives depending on which gospel you're reading through. In Luke, what we'll see over and over again is Jesus is trying to get to Jerusalem. He's ultimately headed toward Jerusalem. He has to get there. And while he's on his way there, he does a lot of really good ministry here, wherever he may be camping with his buddies that day. So we'll start in Luke chapter 4. Let's pick it up in verse 40. Luke chapter 4, verse 40 says this. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, to Jesus. And Jesus laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Verse 41, and demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus rebuked them, rebuked those demons, and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. Hey, think about that for a second. Where are we in the story? At this point in the story, Luke chapter 4, nobody really knows the full extent of who Jesus really is as the Messiah. I mean, his family doesn't really know. They got some inclinations, but his friends, his disciples, they don't really know. They're kind of fuzzy on who Jesus really is. But I'm telling you, there's no question that the demons of hell know exactly who he is. They know. You're the Son of God. You're the Christ. They're not fuzzy at all. And we see Jesus over and over and over again on his way to Jerusalem as he heals people who are possessed by demons, and those demons come out. He tells, don't say a word. You shut up, basically, is what the Greek would say. Jesus just says, quiet, nothing. Don't mention a word. Why would he say that? Because he knows if information about who he really is gets out at that point, it's going to fast track things that he came here to do. And he's saying, my time has not yet come. I'm going to let everybody know who I am, but it's just not right now. Let's pick it back up in verse 42. And when it was day, Jesus departed. He went out to a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Think about that. What do we see Jesus doing here? Jesus right here is walking away from good opportunities to minister to hurting people, to heal people. He's walking away from some really choice opportunities. And basically, Jesus essentially says, I can't do this because I have to do that. That's what he's saying. I can't do this because I have to do that. I have to be in these towns over here because I've got to share the gospel over here, and I need to get to Jerusalem. I've got a date with destiny in Jerusalem. And so I can't do this because I have to do that. See, Jesus is fully God. He's also fully man at the same time. And yet he understands that his time and his energy and his resources are limited being fully man. Thus, Jesus has to have some boundaries in place in his life to begin to focus his energy, channel and focus his resources and time in the proper place. That means Jesus understands and implements priorities in his life. What are your priorities? What are your priorities? And Jesus knew his priority and his boundary. And he essentially is saying, I can't be here because I have to be there. I can't do this because I have to do that. And aren't you glad he did that?
Yes.
Me too. Me too. What's interesting is that we also see Jesus getting alone by himself. He moves toward solitary places if you just read through the narrative of the Gospels. He leaves the masses and moves to times of solitude with his heavenly Father. Now, why does he do that? Boundaries. He has boundaries. He doesn't always do what he might feel like he should do or could do because he knows what he must do. Think about that. How hard would it be to walk away from a crippled child? It says he walked away. He kept going. He kept moving. He didn't do this because he had to do that. And so he had to create boundaries. Jesus understands boundaries. I must say no to this because I've said yes to that. That's what he's saying with his life. That's what he's saying with the rhythm of his life. And so, men and women, a conversation on technology is not just about saying no for the sake of saying no to something. It's about having boundaries in our lives so that we can channel our focus, channel our energies, channel our resources, and cultivate our relational energy that is limited, our time that is limited, in the proper direction. I'm saying no. I can't be available to everyone all the time. I can't respond back immediately when that text comes through all the time. I can't always stop what I'm doing and reply to that email, as important as it is. Why? Because I got to be this kid's dad. I've got to be this woman's husband. I can't do this because I've got to do that, and I want to do that. Boundaries. Because I've said yes to some things, it means I say no to other things. Because I've said yes to investing quiet moments alone with God in the morning, it means I say no to having this right by me while I'm trying to commune with the Creator. Because if this bings and I'm trying to read this, where do you think my heart's and my mind's going to go? It's going to be divided. It doesn't mean I'm throwing this away. It just means I'm creating a boundary with the Lord for a little while so that I can do this well later. It's about having boundaries in place and thus being like Jesus. Jesus, all throughout Scripture, demonstrates boundaries. If you keep going through the story of Luke, Jesus keeps walking and talking and doing ministry along the way on his route to Jerusalem. As he's on his way, hanging out with 12 disciples, these 12 main friends that he's traveling with and doing life with and doing ministry with, what we begin to see is amongst those 12, he really has three that he's super close with. Their names are Peter, James, and John. And so what we see happening on occasion is Jesus taking these three off for different experiences that all of the 12 don't necessarily experience with Jesus and are part of with Jesus. If you're following along in Luke, turn to the right a few chapters to Luke chapter 9. I'll turn there with you. Luke chapter 9. We see one of these stories take place. It's pretty unreal, pretty surreal. Now, kids, if you're an artist in here and you're drawing pictures for me each week, I want you to draw a picture of what we're about to read. The story that we're about to read. You may even want to draw it on your phone. Somebody drew me one on their phone last week or week before last, and I was like, wow, check that out. That's really cool. And they're like, I'm not going to put my phone on their board over there because I need my phone because I'm connected to people. And I was like, that's awesome. Just show me your picture. It's incredible. But I'm going to read this story with you, and I want you to draw a picture of what you think happened, okay? Because it's an amazing, amazing story. Luke chapter 9, verse 28 and 29 say this. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Okay, so you're going to have to draw a mountain. Jesus, Peter, James, John, some praying going to be happening there. And as he was praying, the appearance of Jesus' face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. Think about this for a second. Imagine if you were there. Imagine if you were kind of a fly on Peter's shoulder seeing all of this happen. I mean, think about that. That's a surreal experience for Peter, James, and John. They've been walking with Jesus. They've been camping with Jesus. They've been doing ministry with Jesus. They may have just had breakfast with Jesus. Yeah, we had breakfast this morning, and then he put on his sandals, and then we walked up this hill. I saw him get up, and there you are on the mountain, and you're like, Jesus, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're glowing. That's basically what's going on right here in the story. Now, keep in mind, these aren't 70-year-old men with long, bleached white Duck Dynasty beards, okay? These are probably older teenagers or young 20s. I mean, this is the coolest camp or refuel weekend experience ever. Unbelievable moment. And then it goes on in verse 30, and it says, and behold, check this out. Two men were talking with him, with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish where? At Jerusalem. So in a sense, what just happened? Not in a sense, what did happen? Two dead guys came back. Moses and Elijah, they'd been dead a long time. And they showed up at the prayer meeting. So draw me a picture of that, kids. Jesus, Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, John. Jesus is glowing. They've been praying. His face changes. And they're talking about going to Jerusalem. He's got to get there. He's got to get there. Just stay curious when you're reading scripture. Imagine if you would have been a fly on the wall. Two dead guys are talking to Jesus about how he has to get there for his departure. Jesus, you have to get to Jerusalem. You have a cross to die on and a tomb to walk out of and a hill to ascend from. You've got to get back to heaven. You can't do this because you have to do that. Boundaries. Boundaries. Skip on down to verse 51. This is after the prayer meeting. Luke 9, 51. And when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to where? He was locked in to go to Jerusalem. He wasn't going to get knocked off course. Not going to get distracted. I've got a tomb to walk out of. I've got somewhere that I have to be, and I have to be there on time. It's priority. Now look what happens in the next chapter, chapter 10, verse 1. Check this out. Luke 10, 1. After this, the Lord appointed how many? 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. So at this point in the story, the circle has widened, hadn't it? Yeah, it widened. Now he's got 72 friends. 72 friends that said, yeah, I'll accept your friend request. His circle's gotten bigger. But did he take all 72 up the mountain with him? Yes or no? The correct answer is no, he didn't take all 72. Did he even take all 12? No, he takes 3. And so what we see Jesus demonstrating is that he's not necessarily connecting with the 72 in the same way that he's connecting with the 12. And he's not necessarily connecting with the 12 in the same way that he's connecting with the 3. And at other times, what we see is he disconnects with everybody so he can move towards some quiet moments alone with the Father. It's a rhythm. It's a pattern. It's a boundary. It's a priority. Jesus understands boundaries. You keep on going in chapter 17, and Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem. We just keep seeing this little thread happening all along. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So Jesus has to get there to Jerusalem, where he will end up on a Roman cross. And thus it seems like the revolution ends, but it doesn't end. Because 3 days later, after he's gotten there, he will come out of a tomb, and that's when the revolution really begins. And 2,000 years later, because he had priority and boundaries in his relationships, you and I get a part of this thing called the kingdom of God. That's why we gather. That's why we sing. That's why we pray. That's why we really, really believe. We don't have to be afraid, because it's in his hand. So it doesn't matter what happens on Monday. You just be faithful the rest of the day. And he is going to walk you through whatever valley you're walking along. Because you never walk alone if you are a follower of Jesus. That, isn't it amazing how that song just kind of appeared this morning? You never walk alone. Dan actually does his job well. Way to go, Dan. Carolyn, thank you for singing the way you sing. It points us to God. Carolyn's one of our ministry residents. And I'm looking at that. Do you remember that tomb on the screen that was kind of like a background shot? I think I drove right by that tomb. It's not like the Garden Tomb. When they were cutting a highway, if you go from Mount Carmel down over toward Megiddo, you're going, where are you going with this? I'm just saying, this is a real practical thing, because they're building a highway. And as they shaved off part of the hill, they found that tomb. I've got a picture of it. It looks exactly like that one that was up there. Jesus is going, I've got to get there because I've got priority work to do there. And so I can't stay here, and I can't do this because I have to do that. He's got boundaries relationally, vocationally, and he implements them consistently so that he can fulfill his mission on earth. Wouldn't it have been a tragedy if he healed a bunch of people, but you and I got cut out of the deal because he never got to the cross? Priority. Did you know that the only difference between a river and a swamp is a boundary? Think about that for a second. They're both water. One, the swamp doesn't really know where it's going. It just kind of spreads itself thin, and there's not much life in there. There's some things that can cause death in there. But that river knows where it's going. That river's got life. That river's on the move. That river has boundaries. The river has boundaries. And Jesus demonstrates through Scripture a life where he has boundaries in place, because time, energy, and resources are all limited, and Jesus knows it. Just like you and me, he has made choices in his life about where he's going and what he's going to do with his time, energy, and resources while he was here on earth. And men and women, technology blurs the lines in our lives about what boundaries are and about what true friends really are. Think about it with me. It's blurred the lines. Technology's blurred the lines between home and work, has it not? We got that home and work up there? Yeah. I mean, just think about that. We now get calls at home that are related to work, and we get calls at work that are related to home because they're all coming in on the same device, right? I mean, with laptops, the work doesn't stay at work. It comes home. Just go read the inside, I think it was page 2, business section, Dallas Morning News, Friday. For the first time ever, desktop computers in the workspace have hit an all-time low. Why? Because we now value mobility and portability. You need to take your work home. Can't take your whole desk. You can just do whatever you need to do if you're working off this and just move on home. See, the boundaries have been blurred because the devices that we now have in our pockets, in our purses, and in our lives soon to be on our wrists. And it's harder now to establish boundaries because of the portability of these devices. That's why you can have 2,000 friends online and not have anybody to help you move next week. You know who your true friends are when you need to move and when you're going through a divorce. Heard some amening and some chuckling out there. You've either been moving or divorced. And usually when you get divorced, what do? You move. You get to double dip on those friends. And as disciples of Jesus, where we live in a world where these devices are everywhere, we've got to begin to establish some boundaries, not in a way that we become anti-technology, but in a way that our lives get ordered and prioritized, that we are so pro-relationship. Especially with the people who matter the most. We've got to begin, check this out, to disconnect so that we can begin to connect. We've got to disconnect so that we can begin to connect. I want to, in our remaining time, begin to give you 3 D's, connected 3 D's. If we're going to connect like Jesus designed for us to connect and like Jesus demonstrates in his own life, I'll give you one of the 3 D's this morning, and then next week I'll give you the rest of the 3 D's. So 2 D's next week, 1 D this morning. That means you got to come back next week. Did you see how I did that? That's kind of a neat deal. Now don't just save this for yourself. Bring a friend with you next week, okay? Because we're talking about things that matter to the heart of God. And so here's the first of the 3 D's. I just gave it to you a second ago. I'll give it to you again. We've got to begin to disconnect to connect. Would you say that out loud with me on 3, 1, 2, 3? Disconnect to connect. See, Jesus, he would get alone. He would unplug. He would be still. He would be quiet. He would get alone with God. We got to do the same thing. And although Jesus loves the 72, values the 72, loves the 12, values the 12, loves the 3, values the 3, what we consistently see Jesus doing is investing quiet moments alone with the Father. He disconnects so that he can connect. That keeps him on task in his priorities, in his sights. Now, don't hear disconnect to connect and think, I can't return any emails now. I can't return any texts now. See, you will be disconnecting, period, from your job. What you don't see Jesus doing is shirking his responsibilities. He always comes back. He just spent some time away. So disconnect to connect. We got to be mindful of these devices in our pockets and purses, because the way that these are designed are not for us to go deeper and deeper and deeper. It's to go shallower and shallower with more and more. That's just the way that technology is created. Think about it. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Nobody's going 3 followers. Yeah! We go, yeah, when we go from 3 to 12 to 72. Right? More is better. But Jesus is going, no. You're missing it. My MO is to go deeper and deeper with fewer and fewer. Is that your MO? These are built to exchange information, to read someone's profile. You know, the one that's been manipulated in such a way to make you look or them look a certain way. Not the real you, because who would hire the real you? Who would go out with the real you? Probably somebody else that values relationships like you. I'm not bagging on online dating. Some great stories have come out of eHarmony and those kind of places, but at some point you got to put that down and lock eyes and lock hearts. So let me just ask you, when is the time in your family and in your life that you disconnect? When is that time that you connect to the people and the relationships that matter the most? Teenagers, you ever been to camp, you ever been to refuel weekend, and you walk out of that weekend feeling on a spiritual high? You know one of the reasons why you feel that way? It's because for 72 hours or a week, you've disconnected to connect with God and connect with others. Doesn't mean you don't go back to the technology. It just means you've got some boundaries in your life. And some adults in the room are going, yep, talk to those teenagers. This is a message for them. Well, it is a message for them, but it's also a message for us as adults. You go, really? Really? Did you know that the national average of adults and how much time they spend looking at a screen, be that a laptop or a phone or an iPad, 9 hours a day? The national average for teenagers, 11 hours a day. So those 2 hours different aren't exactly moral high ground to stand on and look down our nose, right? You know what our teenagers are doing? What they see you and me doing. And see, we can be with our family and not be in the room. Sitting on the back porch with Allison last night after I finished mowing the yard. My right arm is so sore, I had to crank that thing about 50 times. And I'm sitting there, and she goes, what are you preaching about tomorrow? I love you. Men and women, when do you disconnect to connect to the ones who matter the most? We're not anti-technology. We're just pro-relationships. And what it says speaks so loudly when you put the phone down, you close the laptop, and you begin to demonstrate where your priority really is. Are you going to be a river that sets some boundaries in your life, that's going somewhere, that's got a destination, that's moving? Or are you going to be a swamp relationally that spreads out thin but doesn't really have much direction? And at the end of the day, it's just an incubator for death. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. And one of the reasons that one of our strategic initiatives here at Arapahoe Road is growing strong families is because we don't want to be a church filled with swamps. We want to be a river. And that's why if you go online to arapahoeroad.org, you will see all kinds of resources when you hit on the Connected 3D series. And next week, when you come back and bring your friends, you will be given a packet just like this. And inside this packet, you will have all kinds of practical tools that eventually, in the next week or so, will also be online. But sometimes you just want to be able to touch it and feel it. There's a contract in here that you can do a 30-day trial for Covenant Eyes. Because there's things that take place
online that are good, and there are things that take place online that are not healthy. And mom and dad, let me just go ahead and tell you, next week I'm going to reference some of those things. I'm not going to get graphic. I'm not going to start preaching out of Song of Solomon and go real deep and all that kind of stuff. But I realize that we have different people with different places in life and different ages. And so I'm going to talk about a thing that rhymes with photography just for a moment. Why would you do that in big church? Because in this room right here, there are people that are addicted to it. You know, there are. Mm-hmm. There sure are. And so there are things that we can put in our lives, filters, safeguards, accountability that can help us stay connected without becoming swampy. And next week you'll get a little brochure, a little packet just like this. Why do we do that? Because we want you to grow strong families, and we want to become the healthiest church that we can become, so that we can come alongside you and help you become the healthiest family that God wants you to become. And that's why we're doing the Connected series. Would you stand with me? I want to pray for you. I want to give a blessing over you. In just a second, our Minister of Students and Mission, Scott Partridge, is going to lead us out of here with a benediction. But before he does that, man, if I can help you take a next step in following Jesus, I want to do that. If you've got spiritual questions that you need somebody to walk alongside of you, I want to help you take those next steps. Would you take a little Connect card and just fill out your name and just tick whatever box on the backside means the most to you, where you're at, or maybe just call me. I need somebody to pray with me this week. I'll be glad to do that. And if you're at a place where you're ready to take the next step of membership here, right after we're dismissed in just a few moments, starting at 11 o'clock right over in our library, I'm going to begin our Connect class. It's a 3-week class. It's very informal. It's not a hard sell. It's just the next steps to find out who we really are as a church. And I want to find out who you are and help understand your questions so that you can get connected and not be isolated out there on an island. You were created to live in community. You were created to walk through life with other people who are trying to follow Jesus. And that's what we value here at Arapahoe Road. And the Connect class will be a next step for you to help you get connected. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, come join me as soon as we're finished. Would you hold your hands out? I want to give you a blessing. You were created to live in relationship. You were created to be connected. Remember this week that God's not anti-technology. He's pro-relationship. Jesus demonstrated going deeper and deeper with fewer and fewer. He had boundaries and priorities. Will you be a people of boundaries? Will you never forget your priorities? Choose to be a river. Don't settle for being a swamp. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.